Remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. It comes to us from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until after she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to
God. Well, I'm sure it is the same for many of you, but I find it hard to believe it is Christmas again already. It was Christmas last month, I think. But we love Christmas, right? I mean, most of us, we love Christmas. Our wallets don't, but we do. I mean, it's the season of all the things we love. Celebration and gifts and families and meals and sweets and music and Santa Claus and elves and reindeers and snowmen, even though it never snows here. And trees and lights and wreaths and packaging and ribbons and colors and red and gold and white and green and purple and silver, and somewhere in the middle of all of that stuff, occasionally I'm afraid lost in the middle of all of that stuff, is the meaning of this whole thing we call Christmas. I mean, we're teaching our children all the right things, right? I had a chance to be with our grandson the last couple of days, and he has this new favorite book. He's two. His new favorite book this year is about the birthday of Jesus. So we're teaching them all about, this is about the birthday of Jesus, and that's right and true, but really, what does that mean? I mean, what are the implications of the birth of this child in this place called Bethlehem across the world 2 millennia ago? The theological word is incarnation. In simple terms, it just means God became one of us, born in human flesh. Incarnation, however, is anything but simple. It is probably the most complicated of all Christian doctrines. How can the eternal become temporal? How can the infinite become finite? How can that which is divine become human? You may remember how Paul so beautifully put it in Philippians 2 when he said, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself. Emptied himself. Being born in human likeness. The early church had great councils to talk about, understand, debate, sort out this incarnation thing. What does it mean that God became man? They talked about this emptying thing. They called it kenosis. He emptied himself of what? His divinity to become human? They talked about things like homoousion and hypostatic unions. And how can you be human and divine at the same time? After all, he's the only begotten Son, but he's God in the flesh. But lest you think this is going to be all about theological terms, all that stuff is over my head, a bit too complicated for me this morning. I want to put theological speculation aside. We'll let the theologians, the academy, discuss such things as that. And we'll just get at the simple answer to what does this mean? What does Christmas mean? In other words, let's forget about how. It's a mystery. How God became man. How the creator of the universe was contained in an embryo. I don't know how. But we can think about who, what, and why. I think maybe the easiest way to get at those questions may be found in the names that are given to this baby whose birth we celebrate at Christmas. In the Matthew story we just read, there were two names. The first is the most obvious. You shall give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So obviously Christmas means the in the birth of Jesus. God has acted to save us, all of us, all of humanity, to save us from the power of sin. John said this was a rescue mission God was on. Into the darkness, light has come. And the darkness could not overcome the light. The name Jesus, Yeshua, a derivation of the name Joshua, meant God who saves. And we could go on and talk about that. He is Jesus, the one who came to save. We'll get at that a little more next week when we gather at the communion table. And we remember that this baby who was born in Bethlehem, God in the flesh, was born to die for the sins of the world. So they gave him the name Jesus, the God who saves. Because to save us, he had to come to us. And to save us, he had to become one of us. To save us, he had to live with us. To save us, he had to die for us. But this morning, I want to focus more of our attention on the second name. The second name that Matthew speaks of, which is actually a prophecy written 700 years before his birth. Isaiah 7:14, they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so that's the meaning of Christmas, all in that name. God is with us. Think about the implications of that. God is with us. I mean, the phrase itself can have multiple meanings, that God is with us, right? It obviously speaks of physical proximity. If God is with us, it means God is here, right? With us, literally. God is present. And if God is present, it also means God is accessible to us. Christmas means no matter how alone we feel in our circumstances, we are never alone. God is with us. In the Old Testament, God was distant. God was other. God was the one whose ways are not our ways and thoughts are not our thoughts. God was in a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And God was not particularly accessible to the average person. Only to certain special people who might occasionally have access to this distant God. And then Christmas brings us the fulfillment of this prophecy. God is with us. Emmanuel. So we could know Him. I mean, John said, no one has ever seen God, but it is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made Him known. Later, Jesus would tell His disciples, from now on, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father, because God came to be with us. And before Jesus crucified, resurrected, and ascended, He promised His disciples God was not just with us for a moment in time and then gone again. He said, I will not leave you orphaned. If I go away, the Father will send a comforter, a counselor, to be with you forever. God is still with us in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And just before His ascension, His last words were just that promise, surely I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Because God is with us. That's what this all means. So Christmas means that. God is near to us. God is accessible for us. And because of that, we know something about the nature of this God we worship. But for some, that idea has been unnerving. The idea that God really is with us. There are times people don't think we want God near us. Particularly if we don't know God through the revelation of the person of Jesus. Remember in the Old Testament when God came down to be on the mountain? Only Moses could go on the mountain, because if anyone else went on the mountain, you would die. And the people said to Moses, you can speak to us, but don't let God speak to us. We don't want Him to be near us. We are afraid of Him. But remember Peter, even before he got to know Jesus. Jesus climbed in his boat. There was that miraculous catch of fish. And the first thing Peter said was, get away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. I don't need God near me. When our youngest daughter was a baby, she was one of those children you never really had to correct much, because if she did something wrong, she always seemed to know it. She'd run and hide in her room, pull the covers over her head. She was like those children sometimes when they do something wrong, they'll say, don't look at me. I don't want you to be near me right now. Sometimes people felt that way about God. But God came in Jesus and revealed God's self to us in a new way. And this idea now that God is with us is comforting. I am not alone. Which leads to the second meaning of God with us. Because it means not only physical proximity, but it has relational implications. You remember the language of boyfriends and girlfriends? We talked all the time about who's going with who. Remember that? I mean, you could be going with somebody long before you went anywhere with them, right? I mean, I was going with somebody. I was going with this girl in the fifth grade. We'd never been anywhere together. But it speaks not of physical proximity, but relational connection. Who's with who? To be with someone relationally means you claim them. It's like going to a party and somebody says, "Are you with her?" That's, well, it depends on what you're asking. And the answer could be, "No, that's my sister." You know, I mean, I'm not with her. I mean, she wrote here with me, but I'm not with her. You know what I mean? So it can mean physical proximity, but it can mean relational commitment. God is with us. And if Christmas means that, then it also means God claims us. God desires a relationship with us. God came in Jesus precisely to show us that one thing. God loves us. God desires to know us and be known by us, to have a relationship of intimacy and trust, where I am known and know, and I am loved as I am, and God is loved as God is. It's an important meaning of Christmas because the truth is there are a lot of people who don't feel worthy of being loved by God. For a long time, people lived under this relationship of law, and this lingering idea is, I have to be good enough for God to love me. I have to be acceptable. I have to meet the standard. If I live up to it, then maybe I deserve it. But if I don't, God doesn't love me. God doesn't want to be with me. I think maybe that's why Jesus, when he came, was so intentional about spending time with sinners and tax collectors and rejected people to show them God desires to be with you. Maybe it's why he was born in such common circumstances. It was a way of saying he is with us. He's not ashamed of us. The way Paul put it was, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Or Jesus put it this way, I didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but I came that the world might be saved. And then there's one last meaning of Christmas in the phrase, God is with us. In addition to physical proximity and relational connection, to say God is with us also means God is on our side. I mean, sometimes the question is asked, are you with us in this? And what we mean by that is, can we count on you? Are you going to support us? Are you going to help us? Will you be with us on this? Will you be part of our plan? Will you fight for us? It's a common phrase we use. Are you with us? But it's a really important thing to know if somebody's with you or not. And yet, before Jesus, that was not necessarily taken for granted that God was with them. If Israel prepared to go into battle, they would go to the priest, they'd go to the prophet, they'd ask the question, is God going to be with us in this? Meaning, is God going to be on our side? Because they knew what it was like to go in battle when God was not on your side, and occasionally God wasn't on their side. I mean, he was on one hand, but he wasn't on another. They assumed if they weren't doing God's will, God was not going to be on their side. Even worse, what if God is against you? They always seem to determine if things didn't go well when they went into battle, God wasn't with us. Because if God was with you, they thought, you can't lose. And this idea lingered in the minds of individuals too. You remember the story of Job? That man that all those tragic things happened to in his life, his suffering caused him to believe God was not with him. In fact, he even said, God is against me. I have become his enemy. There are lots of people whose lives are marred with tragedy and loss and crisis and come to assume one of two things. Either there is no God or God is not with me. God is against me. Just as Israel assumed if he's not with us, we must have done something wrong. This wouldn't have happened if I was good. I mean, I hear people say it all the time in the face of tragedy. What did I do to cause this? As if tragedy somehow is God's punishment because he's against us. A big part of the meaning of Christmas, God is with us, is that God is not only by our side, God is on our side. The fact that Jesus entered into our suffering, was born, rejected, lived as a refugee, rejected in his own hometown, resented by the religious authorities, arrested unjustly, crucified as a common criminal, did not mean that God was not with him. Though there were moments in the deepest part of that crisis hanging on a cross when he wondered, why have you forsaken me? Are you not with me? Tragedy and pain can do that to you.
even if we have deep faith. Maybe nobody put the message of Emmanuel, God with us, better than Paul did in the 8th chapter of Romans. What then are we to say about these things? If God is with us or for us, who can be against us? He who did not withhold His own Son but gave Him up for all of us, will He not with Him give us everything else? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all the creation can separate us from the great love of God for us in Christ Jesus, which simply means God is with us. No matter what happens, God is with us. The message of Christmas is simply that. God is with us. God is for us. We are not alone. He loves us. He suffers with us. Because He is with us, He is always working for our good. Even when that means He has to overcome choices that we sometimes make that take us down a road He would not have us go. Or if we suffer the consequences of someone else's sin. Or simply if we suffer the tragic circumstances of living life in a broken world. God is with us. God is on our side. His plan is for our good. The prophet Jeremiah put it, "Surely I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare and not for your harm." So the meaning of Christmas is all summed up in that name, Emmanuel. God is with us. He is here. He is accessible. He desires a relationship with us. He is on our side, and that is the good news of all that we celebrate in this season. It is the one thing I want to know when I feel alone and afraid. That God is close enough to touch. That He loves me and claims me as His own. That He is on my side when it seems like nothing else and no one else is. So if we ever wonder that simple thought, is God with me? Just remember this. He was called Emmanuel. God with us. And He is with us. Always. Amen. Always. Amen. Always.